inshallah, comes through closer, where we'll keep latecomers that come in and will come in after. And if you're like you're younger and you're on the chairs, I request that you sit on the floor for people who come later and need the chairs, inshallah. Inshallah, that we're going to start with the Quran recitation by Al-Nani Allah Salawat.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء بعضهم أولياء بعض ومن يتولهم منكم فإنه منهم إن الله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين فترى الذين في قلوبهم مرض يسارعون فيهم يقولون نخشى أن تصيبنا دائرة فعسى الله أن يأتي بالفتح أو أمر من عنده فيصبحوا على ما أسروا في أنفسهم نادمين ويقول الذين آمنوا أهؤلاء الذين أقسموا بالله جهد أيمانهم إنهم لمعكم حبطت أعمالهم فأصبحوا خاسرين يا أيها الذين آمنوا من يرتد منكم عن دينه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه أذلة على المؤمنين أعزة على الكافرين يجاهدون في سبيل الله ولا يخافون لومة لائم ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله واسع عليم إنما وليكم الله ورسوله والذين آمنوا الذين يقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة وهم راكعون ومن يتولى الله ورسوله والذين آمنوا فإن حزب الله هم الغالبون يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا الذين اتخذوا دينكم هزوا ولعبا من الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم والكفار أولياء واتقوا الله إن صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات
Do they seek the judgment of the days of ignorance? And who is better than Allah as a judge for a people who have from faith? O you who believe, take not the Jews and the Christians for friends. They are friends one to another. And whoso among you takes them for friends is indeed one of them. Verily, Allah guides not the unjust people. And though we'll see those in whose hearts is a disease, hastening towards them, saying, we fear lest a misfortune befall us. Maybe Allah will bring about a victory or some other event from Himself. They will become regretful of what they concealed in their minds. And those who believe will say, Are these they who swore by Allah with their most solemn oath that they were surely with you? Their words are vain, and they have become the losers. All you who believe, whoso among you turns back from his religion, then let it be known that in his state Allah will soon bring a people whom he will love and who will love him and who will be kind and humble towards believers, hard and firm against disbelievers. They will strive in the cause of Allah and will not fear the reproach of a fault finder. That is Allah's grace. He bestows it upon whomsoever he pleases. And Allah is bountiful. All knowing. Your friend is only Allah and His Messenger and the believers who observe prayer and pay the zakat and worship God alone. And those who take Allah and His Messenger and the believers for friends should rest assured that it is the party of Allah that must triumph. O you who believe, take not those for friends who make a jest and sport of your religion from among those who were given the book before you and the disbelievers, and fear Allah if you are believers. With that, I'd like to invite Sheikh Sanud al-Salawat.
Mike, I'm going to put it on. Can I see you for a second? I don't have my watch with me, but Hassanain told me to have a cell phone that could be. I could see it though, without me looking at the wall or something. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, we're going to be talking about a very important verse of the Holy Quran. And then there's a lesson in it for those people who want to be muntadhirun, those people who want to actively await the return of their imam. Each part of this verse that I'm going to discuss, a lot of the parts of the verse I feel are important to us to pay attention to. Right, so we understand properly what the context is, what happened, and then what are lessons that we can learn from this. So we're starting off with verse number 77 from Surah Yusuf. What's happened up until now? Yusuf alayhi salam was happily doing the work of God. What did God want from him? God wanted that he bring his brother, keep his brother with him in Egypt. This would be a stepping stone for all of the other family coming. Right? But the thing was that this is supposed to happen without them recognizing that they're actually speaking to their own brother. Up until now, Allah has helped. Remember, we said in the previous verse that كَذَلِكَ كِدْنَا لِيُوسُفَ. In this way, we plotted, God said. We plotted for Yusuf. Right? So, alhamdulillah, up until now, everything is moving smoothly. Brothers have no idea what hit them. Right? And now, their stuff is being searched. And of course, they're able to take out that cup from the bag of Binyamin. So now at this stage, something happens. His brothers say a cutting remark to Yusuf. I want you guys to keep this in mind because this is important for the lesson that we want to get from this verse. The reminder that I want to get, all of us, inshallah, as muntadirun, as people who are waiting, the imam, one lesson that all of us want to get. His brothers say a cutting remark to Yusuf. How does Yusuf respond? How should we respond? Right? That's what our lesson is going to be about tonight. So 77. قَالُوا إِنْ يَسْرِقْ فَقَدْ سَرَخَ أَخٌ لَهُ مِنْ قَابْلٍ. Remember in the previous verse when they said that caravan, you people are thieves? And the brothers are like, no, we're not thieves. We're not thieves. Our family, that was one interpretation. This is unheard of for the family of Yaqub that be thieves. Now when they're caught red-handed, their brother goes and he takes they take it out of his bag. Then they say something cutting. They said, if he did steal, a brother of his stole before. Right? Brother of his stole before. If he did steal, now that you're caught, then a brother of his did steal before. What are they doing? Obviously, for the brothers, they're embarrassed, right? We go over there, we're friends of the Aziz. We know the Aziz. We stay in his house. I'm leaning on your information of what happened in the story previously. We're friends of the Aziz, have a good relationship with him. He had us as guests. We told him about our dad. He wanted to see our other brother. Right, so we have a wonderful relationship. Then all of a sudden, now we're caught stealing. Not only stealing what? The cup of the king. So what do you try and do? Let's exonerate ourselves. Right? If he stole, then a brother. Why did I say a brother of his? Binyamin and Yusuf alayhi salam are from a different mother than them. Right? All of that hatred and anger towards you. Remember, before these guys were very jealous of Yusuf and his brother. That poison comes out. If he stole, he had another brother who stole like him. Right? Clear ourselves. Save ourselves. We're not the bad people. He and his brother were like that. So, what we see now is a contradiction in their words. Let me take you to the previous verse. Right, the verses before that, when they were describing this thing, they said, "Wama kunna sariqin." Either we, as a group, as a jama'ah, these brothers that you see coming from Canaan, we are not thieves. That's what they just said before this, before it was discovered. Or, like I said, in one interpretation, the family of Yaqub. We, the family of Yaqub. This is unheard of for us. Now they turn like rattlesnakes. Their brother is caught, and what happens is not only are they trying to save themselves by saying our brother is the one with the problem, but what happens is you see a lot of the poison and the ill feelings that were there between the brothers was underneath the surface, right? If you guys look in the surah later on, look in the surah and see when they're trying to convince their dad how they talked about their brother, right? When they're trying to talk to convince our brother, right? Before, Binyamin is our, we're going to protect our brother. Now, when he's bad, he and his brother, right? All of those ill feelings. So not only are they exposing that actually we did have a problem of theft before, right? Lying to the Aziz. We lied to the Aziz because we said that we are not thieves. And now we're saying, no. Our family, if it's that interpretation, our family, no, we did have a problem of this. So that's coming out. And also those ill feelings and bad feelings between them and their brother, that comes out now. So why did they accuse him of theft? Let's just solve that. Why did they even accuse him of theft? What they say is that actually for the prophet Ishaq, remember their lineage from Ibrahim, then Ishaq, Yaqub, Ishaq had a belt. Ishaq the prophet. He had a belt. That belt was passed down through the important members of the family. Their paternal aunt, their father's brother, his father's sister, paternal aunt, she had that belt. Yusuf alayhi salam used to visit her, spend time with her. And she loved Yusuf, and who wouldn't? The person who's going to be a prophet next, wonderful, even in their childhood, to spend time with them. If we said that the father is much in love with Yusuf, it's qurbatan ilallah because of his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's natural, anybody would love Yusuf. His aunt also, loved Yusuf. Yusuf would spend time with her. Her brother, Yaqub alayhi salam, he said, let Yusuf come back to me for a day, and I'm going to send him back to you to stay with the aunt. Right? They said, apparently, it seems that she agreed, but what she did was she put that belt of the Prophet, Ishaq, on Yusuf, put her shirt over Yusuf, and sent him to the father. So what happens now? Then says the belt was stolen. Remember, what was the punishment for stealing in the tribe of Yaqub? Anybody remember? You get to keep the thief as a slave, okay? But for her, it's love. For her, it's love. So what I'll do is I'll put that belt on him, put the shirt over, send him back, then say the belt was stolen, and then I get to spend more time with Yusuf. Right? So, of course, obviously, later on, people probably figured it out. No, Yusuf didn't steal it. She wanted to spend a little time with his aunt. Right? Okay. But anyhow, that incident is in their mind. So what did that happen? When the anger comes out, that poison comes out, then, yeah, if he stole, he had a brother of his stole also. Right? So that's the incident. That was from Imam Ar-Ridha, alayhi salam. So, what happens is, obviously, these words would sting, right? To be accused, let's say he was a Nabi at this time, Yusuf alayhi salam, to be accused of violating the rights of God and committing a major sin. Let's say for somebody, one of you, right, brothers or sisters, mu'mineen, mu'minat, somebody accused you of a major sin. You committed zina, for instance, right? Doesn't that sting? Not naturally, that no mu'min or mu'mina wants to be accused of committing a major sin. My relationship with Allah is that close. I violated Allah's laws. So obviously for Yusuf, it would sting to hear this. This next part's very important. All of these steps so far are important for us. What happens next? Yusuf alayhi salam controls his words. He controls his emotions. He doesn't lash out. Okay? Although Yusuf is not under normal circumstances, we learned previously that Yusuf is perhaps the second most powerful man in Egypt and has suffered long time from his brothers. His brothers sold him into slavery. If his anger and ghadab wasn't under the control of the Sharia and God's words, somebody goes over and they do something stupid, right? What? That's the last straw, bro. Right? For me, right? Really? You want to go there? Right? You could have them punished or kept, or right? The second most powerful man in the land. But again, everything for Yusuf alayhi salam is about God. What does God want from me right now? The words that I choose, am I choosing words God wants? How does God want to see me respond? What does the mission require? What's the mission require? So, Yusuf doesn't respond in that kind of a way. Let's look at the verse of the Quran now. The same verse, number 77. فَأَسَرَّهَا يُوسُف. Yusuf didn't disclose it. He didn't say the reality, who you are, I know who you are. No. He didn't disclose it. He kept it to himself. فَأَسَرَّهَا يُوسُف فِي نَفْسِهِ. He didn't disclose the matter. He kept the matter to himself. وَلَمْ يُبْدِهَا لَهُمْ. He didn't disclose it to them. What did he say? He did respond. What did he say? قَالَ أَنْتُمْ شَرٌّ مَكَانًا. You're in a worse position. There's two possibilities here. When he says you're in a worse position, right? You're in a worse state. There's two possibilities here. One possibility, is that he's telling them that you're in a worse state than the person you're accusing. You're accusing who? Yusuf. Reality is you guys are worse than him. The Aziz, nobody knows who he is, but he's just saying these words. Could be that. The other one is that no, that's not actually what he's saying right here. What is he saying? He's saying that you are worse in my eyes as the Aziz. You're in my presence. You just told me that you guys never steal. It's unheard of for your family, for instance. Okay? Now, right in front of me, 5 minutes later, you're contradicting yourselves. After I've shown you so much grace and happiness and these things, you guys are worse than in my eyes. So he's saying this. Now we're going to go and try and go to our lesson. This is for mu'mineen and mu'minat we actually want to work actively for the coming of the Imam of the time. Okay? Especially those who are going to be assuming a social role in order to serve the cause. Especially those who will be now assuming a role. I'll have a position. I'll be doing and working actively for Islam. I will be the face of Islam. Right? I'll be the face of Islam. What should I know? What should I be getting myself ready for? There's a verse that I shared with brothers and sisters before on the birthday of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. That verse, and let me just translate the last part of the statement of Yusuf. He said, Wallahu a'lamu bima tasifun. That Allah is aware of that which you allege. Allah knows better that which you allege. But now, what was that verse? The verse, we learned before that our imams, if they saw that the mu'mineen and mu'minat weren't ready to carry on the load and the burden of actually following wilaya, being with that wali of the time, then what the imams would do would be that they would work for the long term. So for instance, let's say our imam right now, let's say, inshallah, we're not like this. Our imam who's present and is witnessing this gathering, he sees that the mu'mineen and mu'minat, they're not that serious about the coming of the imam. Even wajibat for them aren't important. Right? If he sees that, what will the imam do? Does the imam give up? No. What does the imam do? He starts to work for the long term. I'll wait, I'll work, I'll push, I'll keep talking, and eventually there will be a group of people who are willing and ready to do what it takes. Okay? That verse, that one of the verses that our brothers recited for us is this. Surah 5, verse number 54. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe. Man yartadda minkum an dinih, whoever abandons his religion. I don't want to carry out my responsibilities. It's not worth it for me. The cause, it's too much to actually practice and be one of those who are fighting for the cause. He says, what does Allah say in the Quran? فَسَوْفَ يَعْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ. Allah will bring another group of people. If we don't do our job, if we don't want the imam to return, if we're not going to make changes, if this month of Ramadan isn't going to be a special month of Ramadan for us, then Allah will bring a group of people who want this. He says, فَسَوْفَ يَعْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ. What will this group of, the new group of people, the imam's working for the long term, what will the new group of people be like? يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. These people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them and they love God. First thing that he mentions, God is the center of my universe. What God wants from me. Doing my wajibat, doing those things God's required for me. That's how I express my love to God. What does the verse of Quran say? In kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni. If you love Allah, obey me. That's what the Prophet says. God tells the Prophet to say. Right? So the first thing he says is love. These individuals, they'll have love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he'll have love of them. The next parts are also important for those people who say that no, we want to really be actively awaiting the return of our imam. What other traits do we have to have? The first one was love. What else does God want from us if we want to be soldiers of the imam? He says, أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Humble before the believers. أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Firm with the unbelievers. Now what does that mean? I mentioned this before, but let me straighten this out because sometimes people might take it the wrong way. When we're saying be firm with the kuffar, we're talking about the enemies of Islam. Right? It's not like the people, everybody I see in the street, I just became a Muslim yesterday. My mom. Mom, kafirin, get out of the way, mom. Astaghfirullah. Okay. That's obviously not what we're saying, brothers and sisters. Anybody who's not a Muslim, that's right. You know, oh, if I could, I'd trick him out a little bit of money. No, that's not the message of Islam, brothers and sisters. Okay. What's the example of our Holy Prophet? When he was in Mecca, he was known as being Amin and Sadiq. Right? Trustworthy, honest, right? We're people of character, integrity, right? We don't take these verses of, I'm not going to say where I was. I'm not going to even say it was me, okay? Somewhere on Mars somewhere, there were these brothers and they went to a restaurant, okay? So then one of the brothers was cheap, right? Instead of tipping the waitress, shadid on the kofa. Bro, come on, relax. That's not how, right? We don't take the kuffar as friends. No. When we say we're as awliya, should we be accepting the wilaya? Right? Those verses that we read before. Wilaya of the kuffar. Do they have the right to rule? Or does only God have the right to rule? Or those who are ruling in God's stead? But does that mean be mean to everybody? Have bad akhlaq? That's the more bad akhlaq. No, obviously. But no, we're friendly with people. Associate with people. How are you doing? Our neighbors, greet them. Take care of them. Help them. We're here to save mankind, brothers and sisters. We're here to save mankind. A lot of times, for our Prophet even, the reason people came to our Prophet was because of our Prophet's akhlaq. Not only because he was haq and the right religion. I'm a Muslim. I'm on the right path. You're all going to hell. That kind of approach, brothers and sisters, doesn't bring people closer to Islam. That's not our duty. We're supposed to be humble, right? Okay. But enough of that. So, there's another part of this verse for the muntadirun, which is important. He says, yujahiduna fi sabilillah. These people, when the time comes, they actually are ready to do jihad fi sabilillah, right? Looking for this opportunity. When the imam returns, I want to give everything I have in the way of God. Okay, the last line is important. The last line is something that I wanted to put the concentration on. Remember what happened in the story of Yusuf. I was doing the work of God. Put yourself in the shoes of Yusuf. I was happily doing the work of God. God wanted to see that my brother be there. God wanted me to remain anonymous. I did all of my work. God's plan. I was just playing a role. And then after that, then my brothers say a cutting, they chop me up. Right? Yeah, if he's a thief, his brother was a thief too. Right? Now comes the line, right? What did Yusuf do? What should we do if we want to go on and now take this responsibility? Wala, verse number 5, that's the rest of the verse. Surah number 5, verse number 54. Wala yakhafun lawmata la'im. These individuals don't fear the blame of any blamer, the censure of any censurer. Okay? Let me give you guys a little bit of tough love, brothers and sisters. Tough love. Right? You guys brace yourselves. You ready? Huh? Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, remember, our imam is waiting on you and I. Right? The imam who's watching this gathering is waiting on you and I. In order for us to be ready for our imam who's waiting on us, who's looking at this gathering, who knows us by name, we have to have certain sifat, certain traits. One of them is that we have to be willing to work in the way of God. Being willing to work in the way of God has certain requirements. A lot of people can say, Ya Hussein, I wish I was there, I would do anything. They said there was this one guy, and he used to really, he was ready for the imam every time. I just wish I could be there. They said one day he had a dream that he was in Karbala. Wakes up and there's a dream. He's there in Karbala. And now he sees that the arrows are coming, right? And, he's supposed to stand in front of the imam and get the arrows. You know what happened to the guy? The guy said, in the dream, the imam wanted me to hold his horse. I got his horse. And then he woke up from the dream. Right? That's who you really are. Right? It's time to put our money where our mouth is if we want to see the imam return. What does it take? What is that trait that I'm talking about that we're supposed to have if we want the imam to return? Brothers and sisters, if you're doing the work of God, if you want to do the right thing, if you want to invite people to the way of God, prepare yourselves to get told things. Prepare yourself for people to not appreciate you, to say things about you. If you're in a position of leadership, let's say you take on a social, get ready, right? Let me butter you guys up. Yes, everybody, bismillah, come help. No, let me not butter you up. Right? Let me see how many people work the sieve, see how many people are still alive afterwards. Okay? If you want to do the work of God, brothers and sisters, prepare yourself to hear things. Even if you're doing it qurbatan ilallah, you're trying your best, you're here at the center later than everybody else, you clean the toilets of the mu'mineen, right? You clean up after people. You're here washing the dishes, which by the way, there's great thawab for. There are some people who are using this month of Ramadan properly. I want to use this opportunity to serve the mu'mineen, people who believe in the cause, right? When you go to the Islamic Republic, and I'm sure in other places the same way, but I can tell you about the Islamic Republic, I spent more time over there. Sometimes you'll go to the harams over there, right? The haram of Imam Rida. And you'll see people in a certain uniform, and they're over there, they're serving you and, you know, taking your shoes. Some of those individuals might be generals. This guy might be a general, and he's just sweeping the yard of Imam Rida, right? Because it's an honor for all of us to serve and be a servant for the mu'mineen. Remember that part of the verse? Adhillatin, humble before the believers, right? Are we willing to do that? To serve. When nobody else is there, when nobody appreciates, to serve other mu'mineen. If we're willing, then that's another step. We're taking a step now to get ready for the imam. So, in addition to that, so I'm working, I'm serving, nobody notices, nobody pays attention. Is it just that? Okay, I'm ready now. Inshallah, let the imam arrive. No, brothers and sisters, slow down a little bit. Slow down a little bit. In addition to that, get ready for people to tell you things. Not only not appreciate you, talk about you, accuse you. Right? What happened to Yusuf? Yeah, he stole, his brother stole. A thief? A major sin? Get ready for this. This is what happens. You'd be surprised at what happens to sometimes the ulama who are working. The things that people tell them, accusations to righteous people. Right? If you want to also join in the circle, one brother, he was saying that he wanted to join in the hawza. Right? I want to go to the hawza. And one of the ulama, he was advising him, he said, you want to join the hawza? He said, it's like the mafia. Get out while you still can. Get out of here. It's difficult. Right? Are you ready to do that? Mu'mineen who are here, mu'minat who are here. You want to help with the cause? Are you willing to hear things? People to tell you things, make accusations about you, say things about you when you're trying to work for God's cause? If you're willing, bismillah. Yusuf alayhi salam, our prophet. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Is there any better example, better akhlaq, more sincerity than our prophet? Huh? It's okay, no non-mahrams will hear you. If they do, I'm here. Huh? A better example? Sisters, a better example than the prophet? No, no better example than the prophet. There's no better example. You know what they used to call the prophet? Majnoon. Crazy, insane. Sha'ir, he's a poet. Right? Sahir, he's a magician. Our prophet! Kahin, he's a soothsayer. Our prophet who's working day and night for the people, to save the people, to take care of the people, and hearing these kinds of words. So prepare ourselves to hear these things. What happens now? Sometimes you'll hear these things from external enemies. Right? Sometimes from external enemies. People who don't, outside of the camp of Islam, right? They might say things about, oh, you're involved with the center. Right? Get ready. Right? There sometimes is pressure. You want to work for this cause. This is a holy cause. Sometimes other people outside will make accusations. Let's read a verse of the Holy Quran. Surah 3 and verse number 186. لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. Verily, certainly, you will be tried. Bala. In your wealth and in your persons. In your wealth and in your persons. Right? You want to do work for God? You'll be tried. وَلَا تَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا. You will hear, you will definitely hear from the people who are given the book before you, Ahlul Kitab, and also from the mushrikeen, you will hear أَذًا كَثِيرًا. You're going to hear a lot of words and nonsense. And right? For some people, this is enough to get them off the path. I wanted to do work for God. I didn't want these headaches. Huh? I'm telling you, if you really want to do work for God, you have to prepare yourself for this. Now, we're going to talk, inshallah, about some strategies. Okay, if that's what's going to happen, if I should be expecting that this, I will be facing difficulty, if I want to do the work for God, well then how do I prepare myself? How do I respond? Okay? How do I build my tolerance? How do I build my tolerance? Well, one of them, just as a reminder for all of us, brothers and sisters, right? Reminders for us, is that we should be building our tolerance by taking some spiritual medicine, I've shared these points with mu'mineen and mu'minat before, but I'm going to repeat these things. And by the way, when you go to the classes of the Urafa, right, if you are able to get mentored from the Urafa, a lot of time the stuff that they're telling you isn't rocket science. They're going to keep repeating some of these basic principles until after that you start implementing them. Okay? So what are the things that I can do if I want to build up my akhlaq and be able to do the right thing and handle the pressure that comes my way? A couple of pointers. One of them, the point about getting enough rest, right? Being well rested, eating properly, exercising, right? I've spent time speaking about these things before, right? Halal fun, having a wonderful relationship at home, right? If I'm married, having a happy and successful marriage will actually give me more success when it comes to taking on my social role, okay? So some of those are some of the things that are there. Again, I'm going to talk about some more strategies, inshallah, but something else that I want to mention too. So one part I said was that sometimes from those outside of Islam, maybe the authorities, remember Nad Masjid? I'm saying it, you're not guilty. Sometimes from outside of Islam we'll feel pressure, heat. You know, you come to the airport and, you know, it's a little welcome home party. Now, where have you been? Oh, I went to Iraq. Iraq? Are you? One of the brothers, he got stopped. He wasn't a Hausa student, by the way, okay? So, you know, secretive. No, okay. He got stopped, and the cops are asking him these same dumb questions they asked before. So the guy's like, call me, okay. You know, then the cop tells him, he said, do they train you for this? Gee whiz. Okay? So you get these kind of things, okay? But let's say a mu'min is not afraid of that, okay? I can handle that. That's outside. I'm not worried about that. Sometimes what hurts is when it comes from other mu'mineen and mu'minat, right? Sometimes it's from outside of Islam. Sometimes the people who you're caring for, you're serving, you're trying to do the right thing, the people who I'm spending day and night to work for, these individuals, these are the people, my fellow mu'mineen will tell me some of the worst and most cutting statements. Get yourselves ready. You know what they used to tell Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. They used to say, assalamu alayk ya mudhilla al-mu'mineen. Person who humiliated the mu'mineen. Imam al-Hasan. Okay? So get ready. Are you going to hear these things? Yeah, maybe some of us. Right? We're not wishing for these things. That inshallah this is going to happen. No, it's tough love, right? Get yourselves ready. Maybe you'll hear from mu'mineen cutting statements. Sometimes from family members. These are blood relatives, right? From these individuals trying to do the work of God, trying to save these same individuals. Yeah, if he stole, a brother of his stole. Okay? So what should we do now? Okay, so enough, Sheikh. You've told us how terrible it is and what's going to happen. What are some strategies? One of them, like Yusuf, alayhi salam, don't panic. When people say these kind of cutting remarks, sometimes we shouldn't respond. We have a hadith about this. That when you're angry, be silent. When you're angry, should I respond right now and let them have it? Both barrels. No. Actually, right now, while I'm angry, calm, relax. I'll address this issue, but I'll get back to it later, right? I don't have to get up and make a statement right now. I don't want to panic at all, okay? One of the things we want to do is sometimes, brothers and sisters, to be honest with you, the answer isn't responding. Yes, sometimes I just need to be calm. I explain. I give people information. You're not transparent, brother, sister. This is how it is. This is the reason. This is why we did this program in this way. Right? Or other individuals, a husband and wife. Right? A husband and wife. A mother with her children. Sometimes a mother is working with her children, and her children don't understand why mom is doing this. A father, right? A husband and his wife working for the cause of God, trying to do the right thing. Sometimes there'll be a decision. For whatever reason, my wife's angry. Right? Inshallah, she's not like this, but you know, maybe, you know, some mu'minat, right? Comes over and says something. And some women, they can be cutting too. Oh, they will let you have it. You know, not our mu'minat, alhamdulillah. Right? But there are people. Right? So, or a sister might hear it from her husband. I'm trying to do the right thing for the sake of God, and the husband says something cutting. What do I do? First of all, I don't panic. When I'm angry, I don't respond. I might address it later, take the person aside. This is actually the right thing. This is what was happening. Because I don't want the person to keep making mistakes. I want to bring the person back to God. I don't want them to be doing these kind of things. But I don't panic. Okay? Something else. Remember how important the cause is. What am I working for? I'm working for God, for the Imam of my time. I can't afford even to be distracted by these small issues. These are small potatoes. I want to take on Israel and, you know, I'm trying to get the world ready, right? Liberate the world and get the Imam to return. A mu'min comes over, they say a little something to me. Okay, small potatoes. Right? I want to give you an example. There was once a battlefield commander. This man later became a shaheed, right? But Allah chooses some people to be awliya. It's not everybody. They're telling this story. He's the commander of the 7th area and his area, okay? He hears a lot of noise outside of the office. Somebody shouting. So much noise that as a commander, he steps out of his office to see what's happening. There's a soldier there, young man, soldier there. What's going on? This soldier has, they explain the situation. This soldier has just come back from leave. So let's say he had 3 days, 5 days, 10 days. He was off. He went to visit his family. He's just come back from leave. Just arrived. Now he's saying, I want to go for leave again. So the commander tells him, he says, son, you know, that's not going to happen. Sorry. You just came from leave. No, we can't let you go. You know what the soldier did? He steps forward in front of everybody and he slaps the commander. Slaps him. Right? I said, hear nonsense. Sometimes physical violence. Slaps the commander. And you know, guys don't know how tough this commander was. I mean, this guy, he could rock and roll. I mean, really. Anyhow, he smacks the commander. You know what the commander did? The commander said, you know, son, you've got some heavy hands. Why don't you slap the other cheek, too, to balance my head out? Right? He takes the guy, the soldier, into the room. Takes the soldier into the room. Gives the soldier a kiss. He says, I'm really sorry. I apologize. Forgive me. I didn't know it was so necessary for you to go on leave. I tell you what, I'm going to give you 3 more days of leave. I didn't know it was that serious. Here, forgive me. Go. The soldier freezes. He goes outside the room. And then the second in command, the guy who's in the office, he starts calling up. Okay, such and such soldier, he needs 3 more days of leave. Bismillah. When the guy sees it, he says, you're calling to get leave for me, the soldier. He's watching. He says, you're getting leave for me? He says, I don't deserve it. He starts crying. That soldier later became the driver for that same shaheed. 11 months later, this guy ended up becoming shaheed, becoming a martyr, the driver, the soldier who had slapped him. He ends up becoming shaheed. He never went on leave in those 11 months, right? Just because the person, like Yusuf, was able to be patient, do the right thing, show humility. Remember, brothers and sisters, we're talking about the nonsense that we might hear inside of Islam. A lot of the other mu'mineen and mu'minat who are saying things to us, in reality, they're good people. Maybe they're angry. Maybe they feel hurt. Maybe they made a mistake. They're good people. A lot of times, if they see the proper akhlaq, these people can be saved. Right? The majority of men, yes, there are some people we have to straighten out. Right? But the majority, I'm witnessing this myself. I realize, no, I made a big mistake. I just slapped him in front of other people. I was going on leave. Then he gives me more leave. Okay? So if we can do things like that, right? Because the problem is sometimes with us, we're too quick to speak. Right? We're too quick to respond. You say something, I'll cut you up. Yeah, really? You want to go there? Right? We're too quick to speak. They said once that there were these three sisters, really old. 94, 96, one of them, 94, and 92. Three sisters. So the sisters, the oldest one, she was about to take a bath. So she went up, heated some water and stuff like that. She was just about to put her foot inside the bath water. And she was like, did I just take a bath? Or am I about to start a bath? So old, she forgot. She screams out for the help for her other sisters. Said, which one did I do? Her other sister says, I'm coming to help you. I'll come out. We'll figure it out. She starts walking up the stairs. She was like, am I going up the stairs? Or did I finish and I'm coming back down the stairs? So the last sister, the 92-year-old, was like, I hope I don't get that forgetful. Ah, she said, I'm coming to help you. She said, knock on wood, said, I don't forget. Knock on wood. I'm coming to help you, but first let me figure out who's knocking at the door. So sometimes we're too quick to speak, say things, and then, right? We don't want to make those kinds of mistakes. We're going to kind of, no, let me think a little bit. Let me be positive. Let me do what God wants. Let me be willing to hear and put up with the nonsense of others for a little bit for the sake of God. For the sake of God. We'd be surprised. Ikhlas does so much, brothers and sisters. I want to mention a verse of the Holy Quran to give us encouragement. That was first tough love. But what happens if we, mu'mineen and mu'minat, for the sake of Allah, want to be people who work for the cause of the Imam, who practically I'm going to get involved for the sake of God? What happens? What is God's gift to us? Let me read you a story, and then after that, read you the verse. I mentioned a story. This story is about, it's a true story about a girl who's 11 years old. 11 years old. She, this is in the Islamic Republic of Iran, by the way, the story that I'm about to tell you is in the Islamic Republic of Iran. By the way, brothers and sisters, we shouldn't think that the Islamic Republic of Iran, that whole nation of, let's say, 70, 80 million people, all of them are malaika, right? They're all malaika in Iran? No. They're not malaika in other countries. They're all malaika in Pakistan? They're all malaika in Iraq? Huh? Lebanon? No, they're like you and I, right? Inshallah, better. Inshallah, better, okay? What makes the Islamic Republic special are those mu'mineen who actually will lay their lives down and do the right thing, and because of them, God granted them an Islamic government. They were able to liberate themselves from the Tawhut. That's what makes them special. And those mu'mineen, believe me, when you see them, you're like ashamed, okay? Anyhow. So it doesn't mean in the Islamic Republic that everybody is practicing, everybody's doing the right thing. No, actually, sometimes you will find backlash for trying to be a practicing Muslim. I remember once, I'm not claiming to always try and be a practicing Muslim, but once, back when I had a little boldness, when I was brave, when I was a young man, somebody was playing the haram music, the wrong kind of music in the car. So I was just like, could you turn the music down? So the guy tells me in Farsi, he's like, Basiji Hasti, right? You think you're a Basij? I'm just a Muslim. Can I make Salah? Relax. So it doesn't mean that just because you're in the Islamic world, there's no kickback. Okay? Why am I telling you this? To better understand this story. This little girl says that I was riding on a bus. Sometimes when you're riding on the bus over there, the bus driver is not necessarily very much mu'min. The other people on the bus, sometimes very not much mu'min. Sometimes you'll get this, okay? She was riding on the bus, the 11-year-old. She was riding on the bus, and she says, I'm noticing the sun's going down. Then I remember, I haven't made salat. She tells her dad, she's like, I didn't make salat, the sun's going down. The dad was like, well, you got to make salat, but they're not going to stop. We're in no man's land right now. We're driving the bus on the highway. There's no way to... He said, well, let's go ask the bus driver. The dad said, no, there's no way they're going to stop for a little girl. She said, we're going to beg the bus driver. We'll go and we'll just ask him, please stop. I need to make salat. There's no way they're going to stop for a little girl. He said, okay, you ask the bus driver. Sit down. You'll do qadha later. The little girl was a true mu'minah. She said that, Daddy, this time I want you to let me make the decision. Right? It doesn't. Give me permission. You let me to make the decision. The little girl went and she said she opened up the bag. They had a little bag there. She takes out a container that had water in it. Under the seat of the bus was a little bucket. So she takes the little bucket from under the seat and she brings it into the middle of the aisle. So there's bus, right? Seats on both sides, a little girl sitting down in the middle of it. And she takes the water. She starts making wudu on the bus. In front of everybody, start making wudu on the bus. I have to make salah. They said that the bus driver, he had a helper, another guy who was helping him drive. And he looks back, well, little girl, what are you doing? She said, I'm making wudu, sir. Right? I'm going to try and make sure that no water gets on the floor of the bus. After that, I'm going to make my salah in the seat, sitting down in the seat. So the guy's just looking at her, right? Little girl's trying to make wudu. He tells the other driver, you know what's happening? That little girl back there, she's making wudu on the bus. She's 11 years old. Looks making wudu. So the bus driver, the other bus driver, he's looking at the mirror, he's looking at the sides of the road too, he's looking in the mirror, and keeps looking back and says, the little girl's doing that. So finally, he starts to feel for the little girl. Let me mention that verse of Quran. What happens if we do work for God? This is in Surah Maryam, a promise of God. If we will work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ikhlas, what does God do? This is what God says. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Those people who believe, آمَنُوا, and do righteous deeds, what happens? What's the promise of God? سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمَ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا God will create love for these individuals. When you really meet a true mu'min working for the sake, it's not in your own hands. You automatically love this individual. So what happens? So the little girl's over there. She's trying to make wudu. Bus driver, he's looking back. Finally, the bus driver said, little girl, wait, I don't want you to do that. We're going to stop. Stop the bus. Wait. Pulls the bus over. The little girl gets out. She goes to start making wudu. And everybody on the bus is looking. This little girl, right? And some of them, they start to comment. Wow, look at this little girl making salat. They start to say things. This little girl is going to be a hujjah on the day of judgment. Right? That she was so serious about salah, wajibat, she's going to do, little girl, the whole, she said after that, other people, they were, you know, I didn't make salah either. I was just too ashamed to say anything to stop the bus. I would do qadali. They come off the bus. They start making salah behind the little girl. Okay. So what happens? She said that was the sweetest salah. She was describing this later. That was the sweetest salah I ever had prayed in my life. Okay. So what happens? If we can be patient, if we don't give up, if we keep working for the cause, don't worry about the criticism of people, do the right thing, eventually God does create that love, and then we are able to lead others to the right path. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum. Jazakumullah khairan. Inshallah, brothers and sisters, we'd like to briefly remember our Imam. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, in the eyes of your heart, I want you guys to travel to Kufa. Okay? Amirul Mu'mineen, Ali alayhi salam, Asadullah al-Ghalib, Allah's victorious lion is now lying in the bed, in his deathbed. Imagine what Zainab's feeling. Imagine what Kulthum is feeling. Imam al-Hasan, Imam al-Husayn, Abbas, the children of Ali, the mu'mineen, the worry, the fear, when you finally realize Amirul Mu'mineen is not going to make it out of this. A lot of battles, a lot of service in the way of God. 63 years this man lived, and we don't see that he is going to live and he's going to make it. Imagine the feelings that you have knowing you're about to lose your father, and more important, your imam. But for their feelings, and for the feelings of Amirul Mu'mineen, there is still no comparison to what we find in Karbala. As our Imams tell us, as Ahlul Bayt tell us, لا يوم كيومك يا أبا عبد الله. There's no day like your day. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Brothers and sisters, I want you to go now with the eyes of your heart to Karbala to remember ghurba and being alone and being abandoned. After all of the companions had died, Abbas comes over to his brother and he asks his brother for permission to fight. It says, فَبَكَى الْحُسَيْنُ بُكَاءً شَدِيدًا Imam Hussein started to cry. He said, يَا أَخِي أَنْتَ صَاحِبُ اللَّوَائِي You're my flag bearer. If you go, my army is gone. He didn't give permission to Abbas. But Abbas kept asking permission. He said that I want to get permission to fight, to get revenge from those hypocrites. The Imam, of all the things to ask him, he said, I want you to go get water for these children. At first Abbas went. He tried to admonish the enemy. The enemy said, if the entire earth was water, and it was under our feet, we would not give you it unless you give bay'ah to Yazid. Abbas came back to his brother. He heard the cries, Al-Atash, Al-Atash from the children. They said Abbas made one last dua. فَرَفَعَ رَأَسَهُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. He lifted his head towards heaven and he made this last dua. إِلَهِ وَسَيِّدِي أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَعْتَدَّ بِعُدَّتِي وَأَمْلَأُ لِهَٰؤُلَاءِ الْأَطْفَالِ قِرَبَةً مِنَ الْمَاءِ. Oh Allah, give me this last opportunity. I want to bring back some water for these children. He set out for the Euphrates. They say there were 4,000 people guarding it. He fought his way through those guards. He killed 80 men, according to some accounts, and he entered into the Euphrates. There, he filled the water skin, and he was about to drink a little bit of water himself. فَتَذَكَّرَ عَتَشَ أَخِيهِ. He remembered the thirst of his brother. He said, I can never drink this water. He cast it down. Then he tried to go back to the camp. When he tried to go back to the camp, the enemy attacked him from all sides. He attacked the enemy. He was reciting poetry. He was able to get his way. He was getting near to the tents, and two of the enemies came and they cut off his right hand. Abbas said, Wallah in qata'tumu yamini inni uhami abadan andini. If you cut my right hand, I will still defend my religion. He kept with his left hand now till they cut off his left hand. He took the water skin and he put it now in his teeth, and still he tried to press forward. An arrow came, it shot the water skin. Another arrow came, it shot him in his eyes. The people attacking him, finally they struck him in his head. Abbas then falls from this horse. They say that Abbas, after the water skin was burst, he stopped. فوقف الأباس. As he's falling, he calls out to his brother. Some say he called out for help. Some say even at that stage, he didn't call out for help. He said, عليك مني السلام يا أبا عبد الله. And he collapsed from his horse. Imam Hussein came rushing towards him to defend him. When he came and he saw the broken body of Abbas, he said, Al-an inkasara dhahri. My back is broken. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. Wa say'alamu al-ladhina zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun.